Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Andy and Mike with Ball Year Round Podcast. We just want to thank Joanne Borzakian again for her interview. It was phenomenal, and she was able to really explain kind of her life journey through, her story as well as, impacting other people. It was phenomenal, and I hope you all check that out and find Joanne Borzakian at Joanne Borzakian. You can find her on Twitter and Instagram, and please follow her dog. She is super passionate about him. His name is Copley, the Golden Boy, Copley, and then the Golden Boy, just like it's spelled. He's a phenomenal dog, so please make sure you follow him. And tonight we're excited to kind of talk about the Rachel Nichols situation that happened, game one, as well as game two, our predictions and kind of what will happen with these players. Hey Mike, how you doing, man?
We're doing good, man. We're doing good. Welcome back as always. Thanks again to Joanne. That Sunday pod was really good. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, there were some really good stories in there from kind of the heydays of the 90s and late 80s basketball and early 2000s. So it was really cool to talk to a marketing legend like Joanne and learn a little bit from her. We hope you guys enjoyed it as well. But yeah, Copley the Golden Boy, like she said on Instagram, she wants to get his following up. So go ahead and check him out. But yeah, Rachel Nichols made a few mistakes, I guess, a year ago. But the ESPN in true fashion fumbled the ball in terms of handling the aftermath.
Absolutely. No, and it's now we're kind of watching this all unfold, and I'm intrigued kind of to see what will happen. I'm never the type that wants to be negative about it, because like I said, she made her mistakes, and I want to see, kind of how she'll handle these mistakes, man. That's really what I'm about. Obviously, everybody has the negative piece, and we like to stay positive on our show. So I want to see kind of how this will progress and, how other people can kind of make their way and, move up from this. But I also hope that, it's not going to be one of those things where, we do what, she kind of did, push people down to make her way up. I hope that, I hope people will kind of have a bigger picture of this and can, make their way through it without, diminishing somebody else. That's my thoughts on it, man. Mike, what are your takes on it, dude? What are your takes, man? I got it.
Rachel Nichols sucks. No. No, I mean, I know what you're saying totally there with like, not being too negative on it. I think it's just kind of like a big ball of worms. Rachel probably regrets what she said and probably isn't as bad a person as it sounded in terms of her content there. I mean, she's friends with a lot of people that are of minority descent, and she's not like she's always been kind of like on the right side of things, but I don't know, man. I'm not exactly a Rachel Nichols fan. I think she kind of just needs to see the writing on the wall and kind of let it be instead of continuing to write apologies and shit and have a week of content out of it. But it is what it is. I mean, we'll see what happens next, kind of thing. I'm a Maria Taylor fan. I think it's kind of like a changing of the guard kind of thing, and Rachel Nichols probably was just not dealing with it the right way and making excuses without realizing that maybe the game's just passed her by and the new kid's on the block. So it is what it is.
I'm fine with
but
the block. Let's rock. But it's just, as you see it all unfold, man, it's like you just watch all this and it's like, where do we move on from this? And I really, from your take, I love your take. I think that's so true. My whole thing is with staying positive is more of I just want to see us all be able to, what you said, changing of the guard and have that be something that's normal, and actually see people be able to move on and actually have their career progress and not have to be this major situation for,
Yeah.
Makela Harris to get her job,
I think ironically, I think the two like people that come out looking the worst in this are kind of ESPN as from a management standpoint, letting this kind of simmer for a year. And also the only person they officially reprimanded in the whole situation was Maria Taylor's friend, who like got the tape somehow and leaked it. Like that was the only form of reprimand, was someone letting it get out rather than the, you know, the negative action itself. And then LeBron's, I guess, PR guy, buddy, pal person, like kind of diminishing like the BLM kind of movements and stuff like that. And the Me Too movement and stuff. So it's kind of weird. Like, the most of the news has been about Rachel Nichols, but I think the two biggest kind of clowns in the room weren't actually Rachel Nichols at the end of the day, but she certainly wore a hat herself that wasn't good.
Definitely, man. And I just hope we see, we actually see some change after this, man. I really hope we see some change for real. And people are able to, you know, take these mistakes and also be like, all right, cool, like, we can move past this. Even if we have to move past the people, it would be nice to move past the situation too. You know, that's what I'm really looking forward to, man, as we, you know, approach these next couple games that we've got going on, dude. Like,
game. Yeah, let's move past
phenomenal.
It.
Like, what? Like, after you're watching game one, dude, and watching Chris Paul's performance, I mean, what do you think, dude? Is this going to solidify his, you know, his, I guess his, you know, is this going to solidify him as like one of the best
I mean, this,
of all time or what?
This whole run, I mean, yeah, we talked best point guards a few episodes ago, and I realized later, like, oh, we didn't mention Magic, but but that's all right. I mean, he's kind of everything to me in terms of, he's not like a point guard. I don't put him necessarily in that, although he's definitely up there. Awesome. But
he's awesome.
But yeah, no, Chris has been incredible in the whole kind of playoff run in general. When he's got that mid-range going, which kind of has been his bread and butter, and like, I don't know how he's getting shots over some of these guys. You know, obviously he seems to kind of be picking on Brook Lopez. Whenever he gets the matchup, he goes for that little mid-range sidestep, step back, kind of a fadeaway.
Mm-hmm. But no, dude, Mike, even when you watch him do that, he will veer at his defender and then he'll veer away from him and then fade away. And that shot is almost impossible to guard if you're sagging that back, that far back in the lane. I mean, when you watch Brook Lopez, his drop as far as that zone drop that he does is always going to be below the free throw line. So you have all that space, and Chris Paul really utilizes that. So I would love to see him step up a little bit, man, guard that, and then, you know, let Giannis clean it up in the background, you know, if he's healthy. But, you know, if the Bucks ever want to win a title with the team that they have, they need a rim protector, man. They really, really do.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of Giannis that's kind of their best rim protector, which is tough, especially when he's a little banged up. Do you think CP3's got the best bet for MVP right now, or is Ayton going to 2020 his way to, like, you can't deny the stats MVP kind of thing?
That's a phenomenal question, man. And honestly, Mike, bro, like, I love Chris Paul. Like, he's my favorite player, and he was a kid that I watched from when I was a kid, you know, growing up and, you know, watching CP3. Honestly, I think we're similar similar classes as well. You know, I wasn't anything compared to him, obviously, but, you know, we were similar, you know, high school classes coming out. And so with that, it was like, man, watching him was like the type of player that I wanted to be. You know, just seeing, you know, from my athleticism, man, it wasn't off the charts like Derrick Rose, who was very slim, similar class to me, you know, but watching Chris Paul growing up, it was like, man, this dude, he's awesome. And now that you're watching him 16 years later in the NBA, and this guy's going to be the MVP of our league, you know, as far as, you know, watching in the playoffs, it's like, I mean,
finals, but yeah.
Nah, dude, like, he could have been the playoff. He could have been the MVP for the regular season if we really, like,
pushed.
I mean, he was awesome. But, you know, for this playoffs, like, you know, I think he's going to take it by a smidge over DeAndre, bro. Like, DeAndre is, you know, what Ayton's done is, it's been unbelievable. And I didn't think he would do this, you know, but he has, like, proven that, you know, with Chris Paul's help, that, you know, he's one of the, you know, more prominent centers in this league, man. And,
Yeah, I think that's like the key there, like you said, with Chris Paul's help. You know, like Ayton's got a chance to kind of stats his way to it with just putting up crazy numbers, but it's going to be a lot off the helping hand of Chris Paul if he does get there, kind of thing. And Chris Paul's going to have those 25 plus, you know, 15 assist nights. But I mean, Booker could also do it too. I mean, we're also kind of already, you know, it's one game. but you know, it does feel like the Suns series to lose already, just matchups wise and health wise. I mean, the Giannis knee injury situation. I mean, granted, this Saric going down for the Suns kind of brings a little bit balance to the injury force. But I mean, what do you think with Saric out? Who do you think is kind of potentially, hopefully not giving those minutes to Craig after his game one.
I like the Craig thing just because he's played on both teams, and that's like a really cool he's gonna receive.
I didn't even realize he was on the Bucks. Yeah, no, I don't even. I mean, he had a rough first game. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, I know he can shoot it and get hot sometimes. But
agreed. No, that's exactly why I'm bringing it up, is because you know, we're hearing names like that as they're going to impact the series. You know, but what I, you know, I think you're right. You know, it's going to be really. It's going to come down to what player on the Suns is going to be able to impact these minutes like he has. And at the end of the day, people have to remember he was a top 10 pick. With the Sixers, and he's always been from what we've looked at, as an impact player. You know, he can knock down big shots, and he can also defend the pick and roll and switch. So that's why Saric is like a phenomenal player for them. So losing him, I'm hoping to see like guys like Frank Kaminsky, him really pick up the scoring piece. And then, guys like Craig.
Oh, interesting to see if he gets a few minutes. I love Cam Johnson, too, but he's a little skinny kind of for that power forward slot. Maybe Jay Crowder just plays 38 minutes.
Jay's going to have to play a lot. Cam's going to have to get in there and guard, man. If Cam can keep guarding and keep competing like he's doing, he's got a shot. So,
yeah.
I think they're really about the next man up with the Suns. So, I think that they have a, they are more collectively, it seems, bought into winning a title than the Bucks. It seems like the Bucks are just trying to manage and not let the wheels fall off, and everybody, make sure everybody stays healthy, da da da. But it seems like they're not letting the wheels try to fall off, and the Suns are really trying to put it on them. So, and they're really all
up.
So I'm excited.
Yeah, it was kind of just like a rough night for kind of the guys the Bucks need to get going in terms of, like, Drew Holiday had a rough one.
Yeah.
Not really much off the bench. But I mean, it was a kind of a weird game in terms of it was close but not close enough kind of the whole time. Crowder had a magical stat line of 0-8, 2 turnovers, but was plus 19 somehow.
You see Kuzma's getting Kuzma
what?
I'm looking at Kyle Kuzma right now on Twitter. He might get traded, man.
Kuzma might get traded? Tonight?
Might go to the Magic. Whoa.
All I see is Kyle Kuzma, or Shannon Sharpe saying I'd trade Kyle Kuzma for Keisha Cole's number.
Big eye roll.
There you go, Shane.
There's no way he was traded.
Nah, I think it's just people talking about that Shane Sharp shit.
Okay, good. He's just trying to get that bullshit with Kendrick.
That'd be funny.
All right, cool. All right.
All right, so Andy, for game two, do you think Giannis is gonna miss 5 more free throws, over under?
Man, that is, I'm going to go honestly over right now. I'm going over. Like the last game we watched, I mean, the dude's bricking every other free throw, and that makes it really hard to win a game. I mean, you're going 1 for 2 every time you're at the free throw line. Mike, are you kidding me? They lose the game by, you lose the game by 6, by 7,
Yeah, we're on week, what is it, four of opposing fans counting to 10 every single time he steps to the line. I love it, but it's also like it's tough to watch sometimes because it's like it's not I mean, Giannis is the classic, like, kind of shoots a little bit of a flat arch kind of a thing, which, you know, when you get tense and tight and you're overthinking it, that's not good. That's a bad trait to compound with that situation. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do with that. I don't know how you fix free throws in the middle of the playoffs. It's kind of just one of those things. I don't know if it's mental or you know, technique or what, but
mental is definitely there, man. And you can tell, like, they're counting down, and he's like, you know, I know he's spinning the ball, rushing. He's like dribbling it, whatever, but you could see in his eyes, man, like, he's worried about that count, you know, of these people in the stands counting down for him. And it's like,
yeah, it almost sometimes feels like they get to 10 and he'll like hold it for an extra second, just like, I don't know what he's doing, but he has this weird like pause where he like does his whole routine and then he pauses and then he kind of like goes up halfway. I don't know, it's weird.
You're right, it's time to get a shooting coach, man, because guess what they do? They break all that stuff down for you, and if you actually trust them, Mike, then you have a shot. So, you know, I hope
Seth, bro,
you know, hey, you know what, this is what I would tell the Bucks coaches. I would say, hey, go to his brothers and go and talk to them, because they will convince him and he will hear them. And no, that's some free game.
Convince the Nassus to convince Kostas to convince Giannis.
Who walked Giannis off the court? Were any of those coaches there?
True.
Nah, yeah. They weren't there, man.
I mean, like we were saying, is it a Shaq thing? Is it? I mean, he does have probably the craziest hands in the league at the moment.
He does, but he also has two brothers that Shaq never had at his side that can help and convince him and talk to him a little bit. You know, Giannis has that, and I hope that the Bucks will really focus on that, man, and focus on the players. Rachel Nichols, hate to bring it back up, but it was about the players' relationships with other people, okay? And it's about relationships in this game and in basketball, and people need to realize that. And who have those relationships are the people that you need to hang out with, and, you know, Giannis brothers have a relationship with Giannis.
I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see how Bucks remember what they did last night. It kind of, or the other night, it looked like the Suns were just a better team. Like we're saying, matchups wise, the Brook Lopez was a -17, and seemed like, you know, the guards Devin and CP3 were just kind of picking on him a little bit whenever they got the matchup. And Giannis, Teague, and Pat Connaughton were the only Bucks positive plus minus. So that's tough when it's just Jeff Teague, Pat Connaughton, and Giannis.
Pat Connaughton.
That's the new big three, though.
Let's go, I guess. What the heck? Pat Connaughton, man. I like him. Super athlete. Love the fact that the Bucks love him, but his defensive stance is wide open, and he lets guys go baseline and guys dunk all the time. It's comical, and he's so athletic. It doesn't make sense. Like, he's such a good athlete that he should be able to guard these players. Like, this is not something that we should be, you know, kind of talking about. But I'm just watching him, and it's like on the floor all the time, and guys beat you baseline, and, you know, you pick up fouls, or, you know, you get dunked on, or guys are getting dunked on, whatever. But it's just like, man, come on, dude. Won all that time, let's win a championship, you know. And I want to see him compete a little bit more. I hope that comes out, you know. I really do in game two. I really do.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have the opportunity. He played 28 minutes in game one, so looks like Connaughton's the number one off the bench guy, which, I mean, depending on the night, I would probably be leaning more towards, like, I don't know. Their bench kind of is rough. Like, I love Bobby Portis, but – I don't know if you want to play him 30 minutes against the Suns matchup. Like, it's tough. It's tough. Didn't think we'd have meaningful Jeff Teague minutes in the finals this year, but here we are. He was not like a big contributor, but he had a moment. is Jeff Teague having a moment? No, he had like a few possessions.
I give Jeff Teague a little bit of credit here and there. He he's a bad.
I don't know. I had to suffer through half a season of him in Boston. I don't know if I need to give him any credit. No, no, he's all right. He's all right. Yeah, I just it was just classic. Like when we signed Jeff Teague and Tristan Thompson, and like some people were like, "Oh, that's great," and like also, obviously the Boston Brass trying to sell it, and like people who like pay attention were like, "Why the hell are we signing like these two guys?" Mm-hmm. The washed, you know, the guys of 2012 like in the year 2021. But that is what it is. I mean, Tristan's not moved on to better pastures yet, but Teague's definitely better pastures at the moment. But we'll see, you know, what happens tonight with game two. Hopefully a little bit closer of a game. Like we said, it was kind of a, wasn't like a, I mean, I don't want to say boring because there was plenty of like good shot making and good basketball, but it was kind of boring. Like it was never like tight and like, ooh, I'm not sure like what's going to happen here kind of thing. It was, it just felt like the Suns game all night.
You're right on that piece, man. It definitely felt like the Suns the whole way, but at least what it did give us is that there is a little bit of hope for the Bucks, you know, and that, they're going to be able to, you know, make this a series, I hope. I really do. But I do think that game two is going to be a bit different. They're going to make their adjustments. And, you know, I think they're definitely going to attack the Suns a bit more. And, you know, they're going to have to protect the rim. And we're going to see with that Saric injury, like what happens. So.
Yeah, if Giannis can, like, go downhill and get eaten in foul trouble early or something like that, then that size depth becomes a thing. And, you know, Brooke Lopez could go to work on like a Frank Kaminsky having to play significant minutes with no Saric. And, you know, we'll see what kind of happens there. But I think Suns, it's closer, but Suns take game two. You know, just kind of keep it chalk, protect home court. And it's not really a series yet till home team loses kind of baloney. So
True. See
what happens in Milwaukee from there.
I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to go the opposite, my brother. I'm gonna have to go with the Bucks are gonna win this game in a weird fashion. It's gonna be I think it's gonna be a close game early, and then it's gonna be one of those where the Bucks kind of take it out and you know, finish and win by 10. And we're gonna go into this thing 1-1 back to Milwaukee, and it's gonna be a really, really interesting series. I think 7 games.
Oh yeah. Well, we got somebody coming Sunday, I believe. We're going to have the man who has the record for the most minutes played by a walk-on in an NCAA game, and also another kid that I played AAU with. pretty sure that's who we're going with, but we won't be positive till the weekend, so we'll keep you posted on that. You can follow on that at BYRP365. Enjoy the intro, outro. That's by Trendy. You can find him on Spotify with Trendy. And, yeah, thanks again to Joanne Borzakian. Andy, where can they find you before we call it a night?
Absolutely. No, you guys can find me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at AJRoshan22. And then also on Instagram, you can please find me at Coach Roshan. I'm always available. Please, you know, reach out, man. We're trying to find more guests as well for our Thursday show. We'd love to bring some more people on, so please hit us up.
Yeah, leave a review and subscribe if you like the show. We got some more Sunday stories coming, as always. Yeah, we'll see you guys this weekend.
See y'all later, man. Enjoy.